We have seen now the usefulness of frequency domain measures, including the spectrum, and also some properties of the Fourier transform. There are a few important issues in obtaining a good estimate of the power spectral density function that we need to pay attention to. So let's look at those now. We have already made use of some of these properties, but now we will pay a little bit more attention to some of these aspects. So let's look at a signal with n samples, xn, n going 0 to n minus 1, to compute the time-averaged autocorrelation function, phi xxm, or we'll just call it phi m, for a delay of m samples. We need to form the product xn with a delayed version, xn plus or minus m, and then sum over the available range of data samples. The true autocorrelation function is defined as the expectation of that quantity, xn multiplied with xn plus m. But there is a problem here as to what should be the range of summation when you compute this using one given sample or one given signal. What should be that? We could sum from n going 0 to n minus 1, that is the entire range of the signal, when we are computing phi 0 with xn multiplied with itself. So all of the samples overlap, and there is no problem in using the summation from 0 to n minus 1. But when computing phi 1 with xn and xn plus 1, the overlap is now reduced by one sample for which you do not have data. You do not have one sample to overlap the two signals, so you can compute only from, you can do the sum from n going 0 to n minus 2. So the last sample does not have a counterpart in one of the signals. A linear shift of m samples to compute phi plus or minus m will mean that m samples of one signal drop out of the window of analysis. Typically you assume that to be the samples there to be 0, but that's not true. If you're analyzing the heart sound of a patient and you have a signal record of n samples and you have two copies of the same signal xn, and then you shift one and you say that I'm going to integrate only over the duration where the two copies of the signal, the full version and the shifted version, or the original and shifted version, overlap. What we are saying is outside this range the signal is 0, but that's not true. The patient had the heart sound signal going on there. We just did not record it. Assuming it to be 0 will introduce artifacts. So that is an important consequence here. There is also the issue of normalization. Only n minus mod m pairs of data samples will be available to estimate the autocorrelation function or a delay of plus or minus m samples, because our data recording session was of finite duration. So then the factor to normalize this should be 1 over n minus m, absolute value of m. So the sample mean estimate of the autocorrelation function computed from one observation of the signal xn is given by this formula. Now, Oppenheim and Schaefer have shown that this estimate of the autocorrelation function, which in this book I have called phi 1m, is a consistent estimate of phi xx, the true autocorrelation that requires the probability density function using the expectation operation. But that's not what we're doing. We're computing this using only one observation of the signal. It has zero bias and variance that tends to zero as n tends to infinity. That is, the longer your observation, the better. So you cannot compute the power spectral density or estimate the power spectral density of a process using a very small observation. There will be large error that is termed large variance, because each time you compute the power spectral density using a short observation, your results will be different. The variance of the estimate is very large as m tends to n. That is, the delay for which you are computing becomes almost equal to the total duration of the samples, because you have signal for a certain duration and you're shifting by almost the same quantity and the overlap is very few samples. Then n minus m, the number of samples entering the computation is very small, so what you're computing has not much observational basis. So the variance will be very large as the delay tends to be close to the number of samples available in the signal. But there is a limit in terms of the range of the delay, m, for which you can compute the autocorrelation function with a finite observation of a signal. There is another definition of the autocorrelation function that says ignore the lack of m non-zero samples, pairs of overlapping samples, apply the same scale factor 1 over n. The upper limit of summation could be n minus 1. There is no effect because they are out anyway. It is assumed that the overlapping part, non-overlapping part will be 0. So that is one possibility. The difference now is in this factor 1 over n or 1 over n minus m. And Oppenheim and Schaefer have shown that phi 2m, this definition, has a bias that is equal to m over the number of samples n phi xxm. The bias tends to the actual value being estimated as m tends to n. So the estimate is not very good for large delays. The variance is almost independent of m and tends to 0 as n tends to infinity. That is, the larger your longer your observation, the better. Both estimates are asymptotically unbiased, and the bias of phi 2m tends to 0 as n tends to infinity. So these are some of the characteristics of the two definitions, but they are related, as you will see. Good estimates of the autocorrelation can be obtained if n is large, that is, you have a long observation, a sufficient observation, and the delay for which you compute the autocorrelation is much smaller than the number of samples available. So you cannot just compute the autocorrelation end to end. The two estimates are interrelated. Phi 2m is equal to phi 1m multiplied by this quantity, which is simply the difference, the ratio of the two normalization factors n and n minus m. And that is a triangle. So it's a triangular window. So one is equal to the other multiplied with a window function. Phi 2m is a scale version of phi 1m, and the scaling factor is a function of m, and such functions are called windows, and in this case it is a triangular window. The periodogram is defined in this manner. The power spectral density and autocorrelation function form a Fourier transform pair. So the power spectral density S2 omega is given as the Fourier transform of phi 2, the autocorrelation function we saw earlier. And this is simply the Fourier transform relationship. Note that the autocorrelation function is defined for negative as well as positive delays, so you could write the expression in this manner. The Fourier transform of the original signal xn itself is here. X omega is this. This is what we saw earlier, and the two are related. So there is a direct relationship. The power spectral density, which is called the periodogram, is 1 over n magnitude square of the Fourier transform of the original signal. This you can prove by using the definition of the autocorrelation function in continuous time, continuous frequency if you wish. And there are some exercises in the book, and I would suggest that you do that by hand if you have not already done such problems before. So the power spectral density estimate S2 omega, which is called the periodogram of Xn, is simply the Fourier transform square with this factor 1 over n for the sake of normalization and to satisfy Parseval's theorem. If you're going to display the power spectral density in dB with normalization, then that's not necessary. Oppenheim and Schaefer show that S2 omega is a biased estimate of the past spectral density with the expectation of S2 omega, that past spectral density, being this quantity. If you take the Fourier transform of phi 1m, the other definition of the autocorrelation function, you get a different estimate of the past spectral density. And the expectation of that is given here, which is the Fourier transform of the autocorrelation function. And this is a biased estimate of the past spectral density. And again, all of these are related by the window function. The two estimates of S2 omega and S1 omega may be seen as the Fourier transforms of windowed autocorrelation functions. They are both the Fourier transform of the corresponding autocorrelation function, and one is a windowed version of another. And we can define this window function for phi 2m as the triangular window, which is also known as the Bartlett window. That is n minus the absolute value of the of m, that is the shift or delay in the autocorrelation, divided by n. The window function for phi 1m is equal to just a rectangle. It's just equal to 1. There's no window, but you can write that as a window WRM that is equal to 1 for m less than or equal to n, 0 otherwise. The windows have a duration of 2n minus 1 samples. So the functions now can be, the autocorrelation functions can be written in terms of a certain other autocorrelation function with a window applied to it. The effect of the window will be seen in the Fourier transform and in the past spectral density, which, again, we need to study. The autocorrelation function multiplied with window will lead to a past spectral density function that is convolved with the Fourier transform of the window. So what is seen as a multiplication with a triangle or rectangular window will have an effect on the past spectral density that we are interested in, and that effect is not multiplication but convolution with the Fourier transform of that window function. And that leads to some undesirable effects, spectral leakage and loss of resolution. These are two important factors that affect the estimation of past spectral density functions. And how does this happen? The Fourier transform of the Bartlett and rectangular window functions are given by these expressions. For the rectangular window, it is a sinc function that in the discrete case appears as a ratio of these two sine functions. For the Bartlett window, it's a triangle window, and a triangle is the convolution of a rectangle with itself. So in the frequency domain, that is the square, which is the product of the Fourier transform of a rectangle with itself. So we get a squared function here. I'll show those, show plots of these later on. The periodogram has a variance that does not approach zero as n tends to infinity. The variance is of the order of this sigma to the power of 4, regardless of n. So it is not a consistent estimate of the past spectral density. We're not going through the proof of that. If you wish, you can check the book by Oppenheim and Schaefer. So these points indicate that the estimates of the past spectral density that we compute in practice will have certain biases and variances. And in order to overcome the variance in the estimate, we need to compute the past spectral, we could compute the past spectral density over multiple observations and then average. By averaging, we can reduce this variance of the estimate. So a common approach to reduce variance of an estimate is to average over a number of statistically independent estimates. So you observe this, the process many times. A number of periodograms may be computed over multiple observations and then averaged to obtain a better estimate of the PSD. We saw that for envelopes earlier. By synchronized averaging, you can reduce the noise or the variance in the envelope or envelogram of a single observation of a signal, such as the heart sound signal. Now, in doing this averaging, we have to recognize it is necessary for the process to be stationary, at least during the period over which the periodograms are computed and averaged. If you average the periodogram of a voiced speech segment with an unvoiced speech segment, then of course it is useless. So if you're going to get averaged estimates of the power spectral density of a speech signal, the averaging should be limited to durations or intervals of the signal where the same type of sound is being produced, such as a vowel or a fricative and so on. So you have to break the signal into parts that are stationary, and within those parts you may average, but you do not want to mix unrelated phenomena. So the question here is, how can we obtain an average periodogram when we are given only one signal and the record is of finite duration? Bartlett proposed a solution to this problem and said the method to average periodograms is to take segments of the signal, break it into small parts, and average, get the periodogram for each one of them and average, assuming that over the entire observation the signal has the same power spectral density or is not varying, which means it is stationary. So if over the duration of your signal the system is stationary, the process is stationary, you break the signal into small parts, segments, could be of fixed duration or could be of adaptive duration, but typically it will be fixed here in the case of a stationary signal, and then average those periodograms. So the procedure is divide the given data, xn, into k segments. So xik, the ith segment, is xn plus I minus 1m, so on. You just choose those sets of samples, n going 0 to m minus 1, and repeat this for k segments. So this defines one segment, and if you let I run from 1 to k, you get k such parts, which are in this case non-overlapping. Compute the periodogram of each segment. So it is simply the square of the Fourier transform of each one of those segments, which is this. This is the DFT of that segment xin, square it, and this is now the periodogram of that ith segment for all omega. So you can do that using the FFT if you wish. And then if the autocorrelation function of a segment, of the signal rather, of the entire signal x, is negligible for delays that are greater than some quantity m, then the periodograms of the k segments with m samples each may be assumed to be mutually independent. This is an important assumption because you are taking small windows of the signal and you are computing autocorrelation for certain delays. How long should that delay be? What should be the length of each segment of the signal? Now we noted earlier that the autocorrelation functions of real-life signals typically decay as long as they're not periodic and don't have repetitive occurrences of any pattern, then the autocorrelation function will decay. That assumption is made here. If the autocorrelation function of the real phenomenon x, if you were to observe it for an infinite length of time and compute its autocorrelation, and you have a good estimate, if that is negligible for delay that is greater than capital M, then the periodograms of the K segments with M samples each, which means you must select M such that the autocorrelation function is insignificant beyond M, delays of M, then they may be assumed to be mutually independent because you have to average them and they are supposed to be independent estimates. The Bartlett estimate of the power spectral density is the sample mean of the K assumed to be independent observations of the periodogram. So of those segments you computed the periodogram, add them and average them. That is the Bartlett estimate, which will be better than computing the power spectral density or periodogram of the entire signal, because that's only one estimate. But the assumption made is that the autocorrelation function is negligible for delays more than m samples. It has been shown that the expected value of the Bartlett estimate is equal to the convolution of the true power spectral density of the signal with the Fourier transform of the Bartlett window. The bias spectral smearing and leakage are a problem and lead to loss in spectral resolution. The variance tends to zero as the number of segments k increases. But there is a limit if you only have a signal of a finite duration that you have observed. If you continue to break it into smaller and smaller pieces, there will be a limit beyond which you cannot go, because each segment becomes very short in duration and you cannot go less than capital M if that is the number of samples of the delay in which autocorrelation is significant. So there is a limit to the number of segments that you can break a given signal into. So with a stationary signal of fixed duration n samples, there are limitations on the number of segments k that you can obtain. The variance of the PSD estimate decreases as k is increased. But as m decreases, the main lobe of the Fourier transform of the Bartlett window widens and frequency resolution is lost, because the power spectral density is convolved with the power spectral density of the window. And I'll come to that a little later. I'll show the effect of the main lobe and the side lobes of the windows a little later. Now, if you are interested in the heart sound signal, there is an interesting possibility, and that is due to the cyclostationarity of the signal. So if you have a cyclostationary signal, something that repeats, not necessarily periodically, but something that can be observed many times, and will be in the same state from one observation to another, then you can do averaging, which is synchronized averaging at the same phase of the cardiac cycle over multiple cycles. And if you assume that each one is an independent realization of that process, then there is no trade-off between the reduction of variance and loss of resolution in estimating the power spectral density. You're not breaking the signal into parts by using the Bartlett method, but you're observing many realizations of the process over multiple cycles. So the interpretation is different here. I'll give you examples of this later on. When windows are used in estimating the autocorrelation function, or equivalently the power spectral density, the Fourier transform of the window affects the characteristics of the power spectral density in two manners. One is spectral resolution and leakage, and these are related to the main lobe of the Fourier transform of the window and the presence of side lobes. The Bartlett procedure uses ensemble averaging approach to reduce the variance of the periodogram. Windowing can be seen in a different light by considering another approach to obtain a smooth spectrum. Bartlett said, do ensemble averaging. If you cannot do ensemble averaging, that is, if you do not have an ensemble, you only have one signal, then you can do averaging in a different way. You can do smoothing in a different way, and that is to convolve the periodogram S omega with a filter or smoothing function that we will call capital W of omega in the frequency domain. Similar to what we did in the time domain when we started filtering, the use of a moving average filter. We said first that we could use synchronized averaging to reduce noise if you have multiple observations. In the absence of multiple observations, you substitute ensemble average by temporal average using a moving window filter. Now we are in the frequency domain. So the idea now is, if you cannot do ensemble averaging, then you perform convolution, which is like filtering the power spectral density in the frequency domain by using a window. So this is a different type of window now, which is applied to the spectral density function, capital S, in the frequency domain. And mu here is a temporary variable for integration. And the spectral density function is being convolved with a window function W in the frequency domain. Exactly the same as a moving window filter or a finite impulse response filter. Or in fact, any filter. We don't have to assume it to be finite impulse response in this case. It is just convolution. So it's like passing the estimate of the power spectral density through a filter. Nu here is a temporary variable for integration. The power spectral density function is a non-negative function. So having said that this could be any filter, there are some conditions or restrictions. The power spectral density is the square of the magnitude of the Fourier transform. So it is positive. And when you smooth it or filter it, you would want the result to be always positive. So you cannot use any filter. There are some conditions that the smoothing function W of omega should satisfy the fact that it should be positive over this range. So if this function, the spectral density, is positive and this is positive, smoothing of a positive function with a positive window will be also positive, so that condition is met. The variance of the smooth periodogram is then reduced by this factor that is the result of smoothing with the window function W in the time domain. Now you can convert it back to the time domain, which is simply the inverse transform of that. That's just the energy. This is the total energy. There is no transform here. This is the total energy of the window, which is equal to the energy in the frequency domain with the factor 1 over 2 pi. So the window will help in reducing the variance. N is the total number of samples in the signal, and 2m minus 1 here is the number of samples in the smoothing window function that you use in convolution. A rectangular window will reduce the variance by a factor of 2m over n, and a Bartlett window will reduce the variance by a factor of 2m over 3n. So that's how the two windows function or affect the power spectral density. The smoothing of the spectrum and reduction of variance is achieved at the price of loss of frequency resolution, which I'll explain graphically when we see the frequency responses of the windows. Now, the periodogram is the Fourier transform of the autocorrelation function estimate. So, convolution in the frequency domain to smooth the power spectral density is equivalent to multiplication in the time domain. And in the time domain, the equivalent is the autocorrelation function. So instead of filtering in the frequency domain by using convolution, you can apply a window by multiplication to the autocorrelation function. And that function which you apply to the autocorrelation is the inverse Fourier transform of the other smoothing function W omega. So they're all related by the Fourier transform. So you don't have to convolve. The same PSD estimate as the smooth estimate obtained earlier can be obtained by applying a window to the autocorrelation function estimate, or equivalently to the data, the original signal, taking the Fourier transform of the result, and that will give you a smooth function. The autocorrelation function is an even function, so the window should also be even. And that is satisfied by the condition we put earlier, that the function in the frequency domain should be positive.